Hello, and you are listening to the Tech and Tonic podcast. And today is our episode 38. We have one more week before we go on the year-end break. And we're very, very, very near Christmas already, and that's why we're taking a break. But anyway, you are here joining me, Darwin, and Jeevan again on this show that we're going to be talking about tech and discuss all things tech. Say hello, Jeevan.
Yo.
Yeah, so we didn't come online last week because we were quite busy last week. But anyway, we're back this week and we'll bring you news for the past 2 weeks at least. So, Samsung launched their Odyssey Neo G9. This is like the highest end of the highest end of the highest end gaming monitor. If I can put it that way. Is that
it's
fair?
It's basically the gaming monitor you want if you want the Porsche of gaming monitors.
Yeah, so this is a 49-inch gaming monitor, a curved screen gaming monitor, and it's an ultra-wide gaming monitor, right? It's not 4K, okay, but it's dual QHD. So you get 1440p, but twice the length, right? This is like ultra-wide. This is
so you get 2880p or something like
No. You get 1414p still. The height is still 1440p, but the length of it is somewhere. What's 1414p? I can't remember.
It's basically two K screens put side by side.
Yeah. So you're getting that, and you're getting 240Hz up to 240Hz in refresh rate. Now before this, the G9 also boasts 240Hz, but at the same time, it couldn't do it without actually overclocking the monitor itself, because HDMI 2.0 was limited, right? So now it's HDMI 2.1, and if you have an HDMI 2.1 compatible device, it can go up to 240Hz naturally, like on native. It's amazing, right? It's amazing, okay? And the contrast ratio is actually quite crazy, because this is you can use this basically for video editing and whatnot, and it'll still look really good. And it's QLED display. Mini LED display. Get that, okay? Now the price is quite expensive though. It's 9,499 ringgit. Ooh, it's more expensive than some TVs, actually.
It's a down payment for my V.
Yeah, it is. It's actually 1/5 the price of a entry level Mivy, right? But it is a Samsung monitor, so what can you expect? It's a high end gaming monitor, and they're giving away one for free right now. I think they have some contests. We'll update you. Right. Yeah. Samsung was also still in the news 2 weeks ago. They started updating their Samsung Galaxy S devices and their flagship devices to Android 12 One UI. And we kind of like it. I'm using the Samsung Galaxy S21 Ultra, so I get the privilege of trying it first before every other Android Samsung Galaxy device. This includes, very funnily enough, the Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 3 and Z Flip 3. Like, that's not updated until the coming month yet. So, yeah, it's kind of weird, but yes, it's coming. And it's quite nice.
It's also the fastest ever Samsung has started rolling out.
Yes, it is. Samsung is known to take their time, but this time they're just rushing it out. And they're actually earlier than a lot of service providers out there right now. Like, I think they're faster than Xiaomi in updating their flagship currently.
They're faster than even OnePlus and Nokia.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Sony was also in the news. In the past 2 weeks, they have put two devices on pre-order. One is the Xperia Pro I. This is like the ultra flagship for cameras. It's got a 1-inch sensor. We've talked about this device before, okay? And it's not cheap though. It starts at 7,199 ringgit. So it's more expensive than even the Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 3. It's very, very expensive. Anyway, it's also the Xperia 5 III is also on pre-order now, okay, and it's 4,599 ringgit. This is sort of their flagship, but it doesn't come with a 4K display. It comes with a full HD display and it's slightly smaller than the Xperia 1.
This is their mini flagship phone.
Correct, yeah.
Oh, anyway, and it's only available in green color.
Yeah, it's weird. It's odd. But the green color is not that bad looking. So, I think it's fine. Anyway, Sony had their PlayStation 5 and Razer has now launched a new sort of headphone for them. Like, this is called the Kyra Pro. And it's got some, it's got haptic feedback. So, it vibrates on your head.
It vibrates your brain while you play.
Yeah, so it when your controller vibrates, it vibrates too. It's probably going to be a very weird sensation. I don't know. But they say it adds to immersiveness. I'm not sure about that. And it costs 979 ringgit. The price, I'm also not sure. So you're better off buying a WH-1000X Mark IV or something. I don't know. This is a wireless headphone, but yeah, get something like that. I don't know. I'm not sure about the price.
Fujifilm. It's a bit high.
Yes, it is. Fujifilm was also in the news. They launched something called the Instax Mini Evo. Yeah, the Instax Mini Evo. It's a camera slash a printer kind of thing. You can use your smartphone to basically print off it. But it's also a camera, and it's an Instax camera, and it's quite a high-end one. But it's not super expensive. It's pretty okay, I think, the pricing. It's 928 ringgit. And it's got some retro features. It looks very retro. It looks very cool, actually. It looks very hipster. Is that the right word?
I think it's the old Fuji design, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's a very, very Fuji. It's very, very Fuji film. And yeah, it's pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool. I don't know what else to say about it. Anyways, Asus was also in the news. They launched the new Vivo Books. Actually, they have the Vivo Book lineup already. But these are new Vivo Book with OLED displays. And they come in Pro 14X, Pro 15, and the Vivo Book 15 OLED. All this comes with OLED displays. And yep, they're pretty okay. I think they're pretty okay. Like, they're just mid-range devices. They're not really entry-level. They're not really high-end. But the OLED makes quite a lot of difference. So if you want the higher end one of all these, is the 14X, which comes with an Intel Core i7, if I'm not wrong.
It might be the 15 Pro though, the highest available in Malaysia at least.
Right. So
I'm reviewing it and it's a Ryzen 9 with RTX 3050.
Right, so they consider the Pro 14X the highest spec because it's the most expensive one, okay? It starts at 4,799 ringgit. The Pro 15 comes with a 15-inch display, right, obviously. That's 4,299 ringgit. And the entry level, the 15, 2,799 ringgit. And for OLED displays, these are actually pretty good prices. Like,
yep,
you can't get OLED displays for a laptop at this price. I've never heard of it anyway.
Yeah, you'll see our review out sometime this week.
Yeah. Anyway, while Samsung also launched that, you know, high-end display, they are also probably planning to sell you faster charging phones. Because I think they're introducing newer fast charging chargers, right? And they're rated at 45 watt and 65 watt. So signs of a new Chromebook, maybe?
Either a Chromebook or they are finally using USB-C PD as the main charging source.
Yeah, that also means that, you know, you might get a Samsung Galaxy S22 with 45 watt charging, which is actually time lah, because Samsung has been releasing their phones with what, 25 watt charging, and everybody else has been releasing phones with 40, 60 watt charging. Xiaomi is going to release phones with 120 watt charging, which is insane. Okay.
That's crazy. But
Samsung has been left behind. Well, to be fair, I mean, we don't recommend fast charging your phone anyway, but it's always nice to know that you can, right? So yeah. Motorola is now back in the smartphone game for Malaysia. They launched the H20 Pro and the E40. The H20 Pro is a high-end device, weirdly enough, right? It's got a Snapdragon 870.
Yep, 5G.
Yes, and it's a 5G device. But it's not priced like a high-end device, though. It's 2,499 ringgit, which is very affordable for like flagship hardware level,
I think.
It's
cheaper than the OnePlus.
It is, which is quite odd, but we don't know how it performs until we get our hands on it. And the E40 is an entry level device, 599 ringgit, very cheap.
Yep, but and it comes with a Unisoc.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, the remember that weird SoC that we encountered with the Nokia device?
Yeah, not sure.
Yeah, so we really don't know how this performs.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's a Motorola and we don't know whether they're here to stay or not. So buy at your own risk, guys. Buy at your own risk.
Yeah, like the last time they were here for 2 years.
Yeah, for all you know, you can buy their device today and then 2 weeks later, they're like, oh, we're leaving Malaysia. Bye, guys.
Yep.
That might happen. Anyway, last in the news but not least is DJI. They are finally making their presence like officially known in Malaysia. Not that they haven't been, but they are finally opening their own experience store. Like, if you've seen the DJI experience stores like around Malaysia before this, they were all run by distributors, right? This one in Pavilion is finally going to be run by DJI themselves, which is good, I guess.
And it's also one of the only stores where you have, they call them device experts. So they will tell you what you need to know when you're buying a drone. And if you have anything wrong with your drone, you can actually go to Pavilion to get it serviced.
Nice. Yeah, so that's DJI. Anyway, moving to our main topic. 2 weeks ago, we covered something, you know, that we said we're going to talk about in the near future, and that is the Acer Aspire Vero. Yeah, Acer launched the Acer Aspire Vero, and it's something to do with environmental awareness and stuff like that, right? So, do we really need stuff like these? I mean, it's good effort. It's a good effort from Acer that they're saying, okay, yeah, we're using recycled materials and stuff like that, but do we really need all these, like, environmental stuff, and do they need to shout about it? Like, really?
I think to a certain extent, yes, they need to increase awareness of it.
Right.
But at the same time, you're paying such a premium for it. I'm too sure how it balances out. But Acer isn't the first one to actually incorporate post-consumer recycled plastics in their computers. They are just the first to actually tell us how many percent, what exactly they're using the consumer recycled plastics, and they are also the first to come up with a whole line that is dedicated to it.
Yeah, so these are the Vero lineup, right? And I think one of the first few people that actually told us that they're using PCR in their build is Dell, right? They have been doing it for some time now. And while they haven't tell us what's the kind of number they used PCR on their laptop for, they kind of think that it's a good start, right? We kind of think that it's a good start. And the Acer Aspire Vero kind of took it to a new level, but 30% in a device is still not that much.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I think the biggest difference when it comes to using like post-consumer recycled plastics or PCRs is that they are actually using, like, people are collecting plastic from everywhere, middle of the ocean, on your beaches, stuff like that.
Yeah.
These are the plastics that are actually being used to create the parts needed.
Yeah. Yeah. Where so else? All these are recycled plastics from the waste product side, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a really good effort because things like this are ramping up, right? And things like this are in trend. To be fair, like, the Acer Aspire Vero actually looks quite pretty, like, in its form. Like, its mold in its body, it actually looks quite pretty. And these are all made with recycled stuff. Stuff that you only see in the ocean.
Yeah, and we are seeing more and more being pulled up every day. I think there's a company now dedicated to pulling up all those trash islands where in the middle of the ocean. So resource wise, we have tons of it.
Yeah.
But I think when it comes to practicality, one of the things Acer even told us was that PCR plastics are not very durable. They're not very sturdy plastic. So until we know how to deal with that, I am pretty satisfied with the 30%, 40% build of PCR plastics. But at the same time, I'm wondering whether going back to plastic laptops is the way to actually go. The way to go. Because to be very honest, yes, we're using consumer recycled plastics. But at the same time, when you're using plastic laptops, the tendency of you dropping it and breaking the laptop itself is very high.
Ah, I have another complaint on that, right? So when they say that PCR plastic is not as durable, that's fine. We can understand that plastics are not going to be as durable as metal sheets or even newer plastics, right? Like plastics that just came out fresh from the production. That's understandable and that's all very acceptable. This is all in the good name of nature. But you're using plastic and the device is not light. It's actually still quite heavy. I don't understand.
Yeah.
So the tendency for you to drop it, while it's not to say very high, but when you drop it, it's going to impact the plastic really badly. Like, it's heavy.
You are definitely going to hear it.
Yeah, and you're going to feel it in your pocket.
Yeah. No, and that's another thing that I'm actually worried about. If you have computers which are made of these PCR plastics, the one thing I'm going to ask is, if I crack or if there's a break in the plastic, can I replace the whole chassis?
I think you can, because look, the PCR is only limited, I think, the 30% to the outer shell, most of it, and the keycaps. Right, so I think you can replace all those, and I think Acer also said that, oh yeah, all these parts are, you know, made to be serviceable and repairable very easily, which is really good, because this is also in compliance with, you know, the Rights to Repair Act that is being introduced in the US, I think, and I think Apple had to comply to that as well suddenly. But yeah, I think you can. The only issue is finding the right parts and how much it would be. Because, to be fair, like, yes, it's plastic and it's oceanic plastic, you know, it's recycled plastic, it's all good. But when you sell all these recycled products, it becomes a premium, and we never understood why. Like,
yep.
How could being eco-friendly be more expensive? Like, why?
Yeah, and also because companies are demanding post-consumer recycled plastics now, we have a problem where, I think Malaysia recently had to deal with this, where countries are literally exporting their plastic waste.
Hey, that's not
to
good.
Other countries. We had that's a problem where UK and US were sending plastics to Malaysia because we can process it. But at the same time, we don't have that many plants to process it to become these post-consumer recycled plastics.
Oh, US and UK is not just sending plastics. They are sending waste to Malaysia.
Yeah.
Malaysia is like their garbage dump. I am not kidding. You can find documentaries on this. And this is actually true, because Malaysia is paid to take their trash. So for us to recycle plastics, we have plenty of resources. We don't have enough plants in Malaysia to do it, right? We don't have enough resources to do it in Malaysia, but we have plenty of raw material. Okay.
Yeah.
But that's also another thing, right? A lot of companies claim, okay, they want to be more eco-friendly and they're charging more expensive. Now, this is more famous with Apple and Samsung lah. They're not including chargers, which is really stupid. Like, why? Can they just stop already? Can they just give us like smaller chargers, please?
Yeah.
It's
for me,
actually like, wasting more than, you know, than actually saving the earth from plastic usage or all this usage. It's actually wasting more because you're spending more
extra
on packaging. Exactly. So
no, but
if you want the latest and greatest, you're going to have to spend extra and you have to waste more. It's stupid.
At the same time, they're saying that smaller packaging is more eco-friendly. To be very honest, it takes the same amount of energy to make it.
It's not just that. if you're separating two packages, right, you're creating slightly more waste. Just slightly, yeah. Because a bigger box may not necessarily produce the same carbon footprint as two smaller boxes, because the two smaller boxes might come in slightly bigger volumes added in total, which also means that you're using slightly more material. Although you're using the same energy to produce them, but you're using more material, which is bad, right?
Yeah. But for me, the biggest question is why didn't Samsung just say, oh, we're just going to make our USB cable with post-consumer recycled plastics?
I think because they want it to be a bit more durable.
But that's the thing. It needs to be pliable. It needs to be flexible. Post-consumer recycled plastics are pliable and flexible.
And very easy to break.
Well, we don't know whether it is sturdy enough to withhold the...
That's the thing, right? I mean, PCR plastics are a good way of saving the environment, but technology has not caught up to it in the sense that the stuff that we're getting from recycled materials are not going to be as durable as new stuff. And that's something that you're going to have to live with for a while until somebody figure out this science. Which might take a while.
Actually, we already know the science behind it, because when I was in uni and studying chemistry, we were learning how to recycle plastics and make them more durable during the recycle process.
Yeah, but
it's whether it's commercially viable.
Yeah, and to make them as durable as new plastics is actually very expensive. So
yeah,
the business of recycling plastics, I was made to understand, is very expensive. So that's the other problem.
Yeah, the cost of transporting, breaking them down, dissolving it, and the cost of the solvents and other things to make it more durable can rack up really fast. And the cost of making plastic for countries like Malaysia, who already have a petroleum refinery going on, is very, very low.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the problem, I think, with environmental products. We need them, but we kind of don't.
No, but I think it's the difference between being environmentally friendly as a company through your marketing efforts versus having something which is actually a tangible step towards it.
I mean, every company is saying that they are trying to go carbonless or, you know, carbon free by a certain number of years. Even Google has, you know, committed to being free of using carbon or producing carbon dioxide by 2030 or something like that, right? 2050, yeah. Something like that.
Carbon neutral.
And, yeah, carbon neutral, that's the word. And even Acer has been committing to that. Every other tech company has been committing to all that. And I think there's no doubt that all of them are moving towards that target, and all of them are adopting, you know, this carbon neutral or lessen their carbon footprint in the current industry. So I don't think there's a doubt in that, and I don't think that should be questioned. But I kind of think, in a sense, I don't know. Should we? In a sense, I think it's also up to us as consumers to, you know, really cut down the carbon, our own carbon footprint, in the sense of how we use our products, right? I think that's more important, because it starts with us.
I think for us, the biggest step that we can take is actually being very mindful of how we upgrade our tech, or mindful of the tech that we buy and implement. Like, one of the things that we usually do, like when it comes to our laptops, is after 2 or 3 years, we actually add in RAM and we add in memory to actually get a little bit more from our laptops.
But it's not just that. I think it's not just about upgrading the tech. It's about how we dispose of the tech, or how we retire our old tech as well. So we usually try to pass it down if we can.
Yeah.
But we know sometimes it's not that easy to pass things down, because newer and shinier things are always better. but or at least we try to repurpose them, you know. I still use some of my old phones to control other stuff. I still have a Samsung Galaxy Tab S2 that I kind of just leave and use as a spare controller thing, you know, for Bluetooth and smart home softwares, but only if I can. It's not that reliable, but it works, sort of ish.
Yeah, well, the other thing that we can do actually is find out where they recycle your tech. So
oh, yeah,
one thing Malaysia hasn't been good at is actually promoting where you can recycle your tech.
Yeah, but there's not that many places anyway.
Yeah.
I think we can do a little short special on that as well in the coming future, maybe. But yeah, that is all the time we have for today, actually. Thank you for listening to our rambling again. We apologize we didn't appear last week, but we are back this week. And next week is going to be our Christmas special, and we're going to be discussing what Christmas gifts, or at least what Christmas tech gifts you should give your, I don't want to say nerd, but your tech geek or your tech enthusiast or whoever you love. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's so we're gonna be talking about that next week. But today, thank you for listening again to us rambling. And we are available on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, you know, even on what, can't remember.
We are available on Breaker.
Oh yeah, Breaker. Yes.
Yeah.
So if you are listening to this on Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts, do give us a shout out. If you want to reach out to us, you can always reach out to us on our website. You know, we have an email, our email there, www.techn.tv. You can read all about our newest reviews and all the tech news that we featured on this show. And of course, you can reach out to us as well on our social media. That is on Facebook.com, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, and even Twitter. We are TechNTV across the channel. That is TechNTV across all the social media. And with that, thank you again for listening. And we'll talk to you again next week. See you. Bye.
Bye.